You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths, or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
What's trending?
We are back on 96.5 The Fan. What's trending, by the way, for everybody that listens to the show on a regular basis, if you didn't know, is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Bink, you and I are both interested in the combine, of course. You in particular, because, you know, character concerns in the podcast. Every single week, correct? You and Chris and Sarah are doing the podcast.
By the way, do you know who went to Baker University?
I don't know.
Mike McCarthy.
Did he really?
Coach of the Cowboys. Yeah, he's Baker.
How about that? Number one, though, on what's trending, Travis Hunter, one of the guys that is going to be in the combine, one of the 351, I believe, guys that are going to be in the combine. I can't remember the exact amount, but Travis Hunter.
I tweeted him out, by the way, if you want to see it. I tweeted the whole list of who's going to be at the combine. The 27th of this month through March 2nd will be the combine.
He's entering as a DB. Travis Hunter is not a wide receiver. I find that very interesting. I know, obviously, he plays both sides. Evidently, he wants to play DB. Bank, you and I think are on the actually opposite side of the spectrum, where you from the jump have been, he needs to be a wide receiver. Beginning the season, I thought DB was the best choice. And now as the season went on, I feel like wide receiver is the best spot for Travis Hunter to be in terms of a primary role. I'm sure he'll play both sides in some capacity if he can manage it. Deion has said he needs to play both sides. We'll see what happens, but he enters the combine as a DB. Very interesting.
Yeah, also interesting, Deion would say, you know, Deion's kid, Shiloh, is not even invited to the combine.
Yeah.
Shiloh Sanders wasn't invited, but I agree with you. Wide receiver, he's developed so much. He's got so much athletic ability, can change a game so quickly. He's a very good defensive back, no question about it. He's a very good defensive back, but wide receiver, he's so damn good. Now, will he play both sides of the ball at times? I think so. He's the type of guy that can handle it. For how long? I don't know, because it is the NFL and not playing at Colorado. It's much different. Did lead the college football in snaps by well over 100. How many snaps he had in college football. But yes, to me, it's wide receiver. Now, he was a very good defensive back at Jackson State. His first year at Colorado, I don't think is good. He developed into a better wide receiver. This year, defensive back, he was great. I mean, he forced a fumble and everything on the goal line in Colorado to win a game. He made interception after interception. The guy was a great defensive back. You'll see better receivers, much better receivers than he saw in the NFL than what he did. But, man, is he a dynamic wide receiver. The separation he creates, that's the direction I'd go.
The only thing, the reason I think he'd be a better wide receiver is as a DB, he would be good, I think, but at times he turns into Trayvon Diggs, where he's going for the pick. And if he doesn't get it, there's a chance that he might get cooked.
He sacrificed a big game.
Yeah, he's a little bit greedy in that regard. But again, greediness is why he had as many picks as he did. Wide receiver-wise, I mean, he can contort his body in so many different ways to catch the ball. He has so many spectacular catches. I don't know why you wouldn't put him at wide receiver.
Well, the combine's changed so much in what guys do. They kind of cherry-pick their activities now.
Do you lift? Do you not lift? Do you run the 40? Do you not
run the 40? Yeah. The vertical, you're not doing. There's certain things you do, the broad jump, whatever. You're doing certain things. Like the 40-yard dash, two quarterbacks did it last year?
Do you think Shador and Cameron?
You remember that? Like two Had it. That was it.
Do you think Shador and Cam run? Or throw, I guess, in this regard either. I don't know if they throw.
I think they do a pro day. I think they'll do a pro day at Colorado and be throwing to Travis Hunter. That's what it'll do.
The pro days
have kind of...
What, and Cam's going to throw to Xavier Restrepo?
Xavier Restrepo. You probably should do that. But Restrepo, I think, will come... He's the type of guy that'll probably do everything.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see Chiefs draft for Restrepo, to be honest with you. But a lot of guys cherry pick what they do, and that's why you have to go to the pro days.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting what to do. Do you go to the pro days or not? And I know that even Veet said it last year, and even Matt Nagy runs the Senior Bowl. Like last year during the draft, rounds 5 through 7 are real thin because guys are deciding to stay. And it's kind of helping the NFL, to be honest with you, because you're not having to worry about developing guys as much because there's really no time to it. Sure, you got the practice squad and stuff like that, but that's not what you want to do with high draft picks or mid-round draft picks. You want them to play. But with name, image, and likeness, guys are staying, especially at the quarterback position too. Like they're staying longer. They're getting that cash before they decide to go jump to the National Football League.
Yeah.
And it makes them better off because they have an opportunity to go make some cash playing college football still. So it actually helps the NFL, in my opinion, because guys can go up 2 or 3 rounds, but just staying in school. Because you're not seeing guys just go to the NFL draft that should never be going to the NFL draft. And they're not drafted, or they're 7th-round picks or throwaway picks like that. Undrafted free agents are staying in the school, which I think helps the game.
Secondly, on What's Trending, Bink, you watched the Four Nations face-off last night. I heard a lot of good things. How good was it?
Yeah, the Four Nations face-off was fun.
Actually, it's part of it because I think the USA plays tomorrow, correct?
Well, they play Canada tomorrow. And Canada beat Sweden. They were up 2-0, then 3-1. Sweden came back and tied them. Overtime, Canada ends up winning. U.S. beat Finland, hammered them last night, 6-1. The Tkachuk brothers each had 2 goals in that game. It was a lot of fun. The Canadians keep booing the anthem, which I don't know, you know, they need to stop that. They'll probably get that back at them when it's in Boston.
In Boston.
Next week when the games shift to Boston. But other than that, I like the fact the NHL is using the NHL players to do it. They're doing this kind of in lieu of the All-Star game in the NHL. But the best stars are there. You know, they're there. I mean, it is great, great hockey. Watch it. And physical as well. A lot of physicality going on in this tournament. And I look forward to it. And it's fun to watch. I'm glad they're doing it. But NHL players are coming back in the 26 and the 30 winter games. They'll be back. So it's good that the NHL players are going back to be in the Olympics because it'll make the Olympic hockey a lot of fun. I mean, it's fun watching amateurs. That's fine. But, man, it's much different watching the NHL players. The Americans have a great team. Like, that is a great hockey team. That line with the Tkachuk brothers and Jack Eichel on it, I mean, it's an insane line. But, yes, Canada and
Eichel's
U.S.
so good.
Tomorrow, that'll still be at the Bell Center up in Montreal before the game shift to Boston.
Number 3 on What's Trending. Bink, I don't think this affects you as much. For me, it does. YouTube TV has reached a deal with Paramount to avoid a March Madness blackout. Thank goodness. Gold and I are very happy with that, as are the rest of the YouTube TV consumers who want to see a 4-box of March Madness play. We would like that in March.
Well, you knew they were going to do it. Honestly, did they lose True TV and all that? Because CBS like owns all that stuff.
No, I don't think they. It would be only CBS, Comedy Central,
and Paramount.
And Paramount, because I think Turner.
And Paramount's where Yellowstone was on.
Turner
lucky
itself,
that's
I think,
over.
Is separate from CBS in that regard.
Yeah,
so the Turner channels
over.
Would still be there. But Turner does partner up with CBS for March Madness.
Sure.
And now we'll have the March Madness 4-way stuff. Plus the national championships on there. The Masters is on CBS as well. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, and Yellowstone was on Paramount. I can watch all the reruns too.
Correct.
Now,
and I'm able to watch my FBI shows still. Last thing I watched training, of course, the Daytona 500 as well.
Wait a minute. I have one thing on before we get to Daytona 500. A little caveat on this.
Okay.
I don't like when stations lose or networks lose TV stations. I go Spectrum now. Because
yes,
you know, I can watch any sports, anytime, just flip the channel right to it. Because it's getting that way. When you stream a bunch of stuff, it becomes ridiculous when you're looking at how many streaming service you're paying, and cable gets to be about the same price, to be honest with you. But last year, I'll never forget, Missouri was playing the first game, and it was on SEC Network, and they had the pregame and everything on. And then, boom, as soon as the game started, they cut it off. And Spectrum went on that strike with the ESPN family of channels.
Yeah, you were not happy
about
that.
You lost ABC, which has a ton of games, and you lost that. And SEC Network, and you lost all this. So I would go to a sports bar to watch the games thinking this would be over quickly. Luckily, it was. Luckily, it didn't take all that long to change things. But yes, I went out to a sports bar, and that could be a very expensive thing when you're sitting in a sports bar all day watching games and drinking beer and eating and whatever. But it was great when the feud was finally over. So you knew it was going to be over. You know they weren't going to have a chance, take a chance of not having live television sports and not having the NCAA tournament. You knew that this deal would be done with CBS. You knew this deal would be done over quickly. So glad they did that for sports fans to be able to watch the TV, because people make choices, and they make quick choices. And if they're not YouTube TV subscribers, they just go to somebody else. Or maybe people are going back to cable at this point. Who knows what people are doing, but people can do so many different things and so many choices. But yes, the Daytona 500, Drew, be watching that on Sunday. Look forward to it. I think NASCAR's fun. It kind of goes on the back burner a little bit when football starts, because you have the games on Sunday and you have the races. So not as much attention paid to that. But now it's time to turn our attention to the NFL draft, something that Drew and I like very, very much. And one of the experts on it is Thor Nystrom, that I have on every year when we lead up to the NFL draft. He's at Fantasy Life now. He's their NFL draft guy on Twitter, at ThorKU. So Thor has the KU reference in his name as well, even though he doesn't live that way. He lives up in Minneapolis at this point. But Thor, what's up?
You can take the boy out of Rock Chalk, but you can't take Rock Chalk out of the boy.
That's right. That's right. That's what you got. All right. So, honestly, as a draft analyst, what do you think of this draft? Are you enamored by it, or I don't look at it as deep as what I've seen in the past. Like last year was rough, rounds 5 to 7. I think a lot of guys are staying in school, taking some Neil money, and improving their draft stock, to be honest with you. And with guys cherry picking what activities they're going to do, I think it's lost a tad bit of its luster.
Yeah, and you don't, you know, the quarterbacks, we just have the two that can step in day one. You know, you come off a class last year where you had the 6 in the top 12. We're down in receiving talent this year. I think overall, if you looked at it, you'd probably say a slightly below average draft class. But, you know, there are positions that are way juiced up. Sure. We have the best running back class this year that we've had in probably 10 years. And then the interior defensive line class is another one that is just absolutely stacked up and down. So, you know, it's a good year to need to be shopping for a couple of different things, those two in particular.
Yeah, and as far as the Chiefs are concerned, that's kind of what they need. They need running back depth. I wouldn't do it in the first round, but definitely it's a deep draft as far as the running back classes. Outstanding defensive line, like you said, interior defensive line is ridiculously good. And at 31, where the Chiefs pick, if you don't trade down, you could probably get a very, very serviceable defensive lineman, like a Derek Harmon they really like at Oregon at 31. Tight end draft, too. It's a pretty deep tight end draft as well. It kind of bodes well for the Kansas City Chiefs. What would you do at 31? Because I've always been to the point where if you want a left tackle, which the Chiefs need, you either trade down or you don't get one at 31.
Yeah, that's probably it. I mean, you know, we've seen this a few times over the last couple of years where the Chiefs take one in the first couple rounds, an offensive lineman, and they get, you know, a little bit of a on-the-surface discount, but those guys haven't taking the step forward developmentally yet. And so you're sort of in the same spot. This class, you know, I probably would put, you know, offensive tackle dash, you know, if you want to go to guard, well, I mean, we'll see what happens with Trey Smith, but you're going to need someone to fall down to you that would have a legitimate shot to start day one. I don't think the Chiefs want to take another toolsy guy where it's like, oh, we'll just polish this and then hope for the best. So you might be, you know, be it cornerback, be it receiver, be it interior defensive line, you're monitoring those positions and see if someone falls down to you that shouldn't. And there's probably a better chance that one of those latter position groups that someone will fall down to you that shouldn't, as opposed to the offensive line. Because I think it's another year where there's like, you know, the small grouping of guys where teams feel that they can step in, no doubt about it, day one and start. And I feel like those guys are probably going to be gone by the time the Chiefs get on the clock.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to go down early to get a different speaker. Maybe edge. We've seen more edges, you know, go in the later part of the first round, even the second round, where you used to be, you had to be top 15 to get an elite level type of edge performer. But the offensive line is interesting because it brings that question, you know, do you go and get, you know, a free agent offensive tackle? You do it through the draft for left tackle. Hey, I go through free agency because unless you trade down, I don't feel that left tackle is going to be there. What do you think about some of these wide receivers, Thor? Obviously, they're not going to get Tetero McMillan. He's going to go way early. I can't wait to see what he runs in his 40. Is he going to run in the combine?
If I was him, I would, or if I was his representation, I'd probably advise no, because he is the very clear wide receiver one in this class, and there's a break after him. So it's one of those things, you don't have anything to prove at that point. So if I was him, I wouldn't.
Yeah, Luther Burden is, I think, is really interesting. During the year, he was looked as a top 10 pick, and then you start seeing him slide to 15. Now I've seen some mocks where he's in the 20s and stuff like that. All of a sudden it becomes more tangible for the Chiefs. I don't know where you sit, Thor, but last year clearly you knew I was really high on wide receivers when we brought you on, and it turned out to be Xavier Worthy, the guy they went with, which I think ended up being a good pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. But I want to give Patrick Mahomes weapons. I mean, we saw what happened in the Super Bowl. Give him offensive weapons. I would not be against a wide receiver at 31.
No, especially the, you know, the constitution of the receiver room for the Chiefs right now, where you're going to have the two guys back in Worthy and Rice. But then after that, basically everybody's a free agent, right? I mean, everybody in that room essentially is a free agent. So you need to have the three starting caliber wide receivers, but it's going to happen somewhere, you know? I mean, like, and if they don't have that by the time the draft gets there, think you're probably going to be targeting a wide receiver early. The options that you could potentially go to, could Burden fall that far? I think Burden is in for a fall, especially against, you know, the expectations a year ago at this time. I would be very surprised if it was that far. I think that one's more like, if Burden gets past the Cardinals and then he gets into like the low 20s, would we engage in a trade up? I think that's more the scenario as far as Burden goes. At the spot the Chiefs are picking, the more realistic ones, could Ekpuka fall down there? I think that one's iffy too. Matthew Golden, I think, would be an option that probably is going to go right around there. Coming out of Texas, spent 1 year there. Interestingly enough, did not play with Xavier Worthy in college.
Yeah.
But both come out of Texas. But I do think their games would fit together pretty well if you decided to go in that direction. So, yeah, I think that's an option for sure.
Yeah, and Sark talks to Andy Reid. You know, he was a big influence in Xavier Worthy, you know, being drafted to the Kansas City Chiefs as far as that was concerned. But, yeah, I look at potential game changers there. When you look at the running backs, how many of you honestly think are going in the first round? Like last year we saw some records being set with wide receivers. The 7 were taken in the first round. We saw 8 offensive linemen taken in the first round that set a record. When you look at the overall, are we looking kind of the similar thing with running backs? As far as you think first round, we maybe just see Jeanty in a Hampton, or maybe just Jeanty in the first round?
Yeah, if I had to bet right now, I would say 1. I know that the number in Vegas is going to be set at 1.5. I would lean under right now. And a part of that is because of how stacked the running back class is. Now, Jeanty, he stands heads and shoulders above the rest. He's one of the best running backs we've seen coming to the NFL in the last 20 years. He's going to go where he's going to go, right? The Cowboys is a ubiquitous one. Could potentially even go a little bit above that, be it to the Bears, or the Raiders, I think, is the highest one that I've seen bandied about. But he's going to go somewhere in there. After that, though, I think the depth of the running back class, where you go legitimately 30 to 40 deep. I mean, the NFL Combine, I think we had
329.
It was 29.
The 329 total, but I don't know the exact running backs.
And I think 31 of those were running backs. There's even a few running backs outside of that, you know, it's like maybe that guy should have gone as well. It's just a stacked running back class. So I'm curious if that sort of artificially depresses the price points of the non-Jeanty running backs. So, like, my thought is, why would you take, you know, let's say Omarion Hampton or Caleb Johnson, why would you take them at the end of the first round when you're looking at the day 2 options and you're like, these guys are all going to be had on enormous discounts relative to where they would have gone last year? I think this is the year where you do not have to reach up for a running back. And some of those guys might get pushed down just a little bit because of that. But we're going to have a bonanza of running backs day two and day three.
Yeah, we have 30 is the total count that's going to the combine. So there's going to be a lot of running backs to evaluate and interview for the various teams going there. As far as nationally the big picture is concerned, we talked a little bit about Travis Hunter choosing to go to the combine as a defensive back. I know that Deion and stuff says he can play both ways, and I know Travis Hunter probably thinks he can play both ways, but is that the right decision? Because I always like him more as a wide receiver.
Well, you're going to see him as both in the NFL. It's just, what is it initially as a rookie, what percentage does his pick, the organization that picks him, did they think, what percentage of offensive snaps did they think his body can handle without extremely elevating the injury risk? Is that going to be, as a rookie, like right out the gate, is that going to be 30? Is that going to be 40? Is that going to be 50? But they're going to choose some sort of number. And then I think the way this will go down is whatever team it is, you're going to have two different playbooks. Okay. You know, you're going to have the non-Travis Hunter playbook, and probably the best fit for this would be the Vikings with O'Connell. They run 12 personnel on something like 53 to 55% of the snaps are either Josh Oliver, the inline blocking tight end, is out there with Hawkinson, or they swap him out for C.J. Ham, who's like a pass blocking fullback, H-backy type guy. If it was a team like that with that constitution, and then you're running three wide receivers 45% of the time, well, you'd have your 55% 12 personnel non-Hunter playbook, and then the other part you'd with the three wide receivers with Hunter, and Hunter would be a wide receiver one for those snaps for a lot of the different teams that are in line to potentially take him. For the Browns, those, let's say, 40% of snaps, he is wide receiver one on those snaps. Jerry Judy's going to get kicked down to wide receiver two. The Patriots, he would be by far and away the wide receiver one, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, he is going to be playing both ways. That's what he wants to do. Travis Hunter wants to be the Shohei Ohtani of football. Like, you know, I mean, like, that's, you know, obviously did that throughout his collegiate career, Jackson State and then Colorado. He's going to try that in the NFL as well, and he's going to have success with it. They just have to figure out the right formula of the amount of snaps that he can handle.
Talking to our draft guy, Thor Nystrom, from a lot of times on Character Concerns, he's our main draft guy, to be honest with you, going forward. Fantasy Life is where he does his draft analyst work. All right, what about the tight end position? Like, what if Kelce does walk into the sunset? They drafted Jared Wiley last year in the fourth round, got hurt this year, actually liked Wiley a lot. Obviously, Tyler Warren is, in my mind, the kind of Brock Bowers of this draft class. Colston Loveland there. And then I see guys you can get in the second and third round. Like Harold Fannin's interesting to me at Bowling Green, makes a ton of catches, but he's a little bit undersized as far as weight's concerned. Gunnar Helm at Texas is actually a guy I started really liking at the very beginning of the year because we finally got to see his athleticism. He leads Texas in catches this year.
Yeah, Gunnar Helm's an interesting one. You know, in that scenario that you're talking about, and then you get into day two, Gunnar Helm probably goes on in round three, but he is interesting. He was stuck behind Jatavion Sanders at Texas, and there's a funny story the position coach there, Jeff Banks, tells about how after the 2022 season where Gunnar Helm went into his office and made the argument, I'm better than Jatavion. Why is Jatavion playing 90% of the snaps and I'm playing 10 when I'm better than him?
He was.
I'm just as good as a receiver and I am a better blocker. And I think he proved this year he was telling the truth, Gunnar Helm was. He should have been playing probably more than Jatavion, you know, that last season there. We got to see it this year. He's a guy that can play in line and out to the intermediate range, very reliable as a receiver, and he's going to give you a little bit of blocking as well. So it's a two-way tight end. That I, you know, for the Chiefs, if Kelce did walk away round three, I think probably you'd target a guy like that.
You know, it's funny because I remember early in the season with Texas and, you know, Gunnar Helm started being awesome from the beginning, but he wasn't on the radar, wasn't on maps. And then all of a sudden he started getting up there to fourth best tight end or fifth best tight end. It's like his athleticism to me jumped off the charts. And I was like, yeah, that could be a definite guy as far as you want a receiving tight end. That can definitely be it. But Tyler Warren, I think he's the best tight end in the draft. I don't know where you sit, if you're a Loveland guy or Tyler Warren, but Tyler Warren at Penn State, he'll be top 15 probably at minimum, if not higher.
I believe so. And yes, Tyler Warren's tight end one in this class. Tyler Warren's ridiculous. I mean, the guy is 6'6", 260 pounds, and you were mentioning this, they kind of use him. In fact, you're like Brock Bowers, who is way smaller than he is. You know, you see the specialized usage where it's not just as the Tyler Warren was the wide receiver one for that team, if you look at it like that. But in addition to that, they manufactured all these touches for him. Again, similar to Brock Bowers. The end arounds, shifting him into the backfield, handing it off to him within five yards, your goal to go, whatever. You had that different stuff with him. And then trick play utility. There was one play against USC. He was the center in a shotgun set with all the offensive linemen to his right. Yeah, and he was eligible as the last guy in the line on the left. Snaps the ball, ran down the field, and posterized the kid in the end zone. They just chucked it up to him. You can do all this different stuff for him. He is going to go in the top 15. I think the end of the road for him, if he gets through, the end of the road is the Colts. If he gets there, the Colts are going to turn that card in really quick. But, yeah, he absolutely could go above that. He is the best tight end in this class. And then I think Colson Loveland right after him. And I think Colson Loveland, probably the end of the road for him, is probably the Denver Broncos at 20. And if not that, for sure the Chargers two picks later. So I think the Chiefs will be boxed out of those guys. But in day two, to your point, there is some of those attractive options. And I really like Harold Fannin. And I think Harold Fannin's stock goes back up. I think he's going to test better than people think at the combine. His tracking numbers with the chips down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, they have the zebra tracking system. Harold Fannin, as far as that went, was the most athletic tight end that the zebra system had tracked since they started doing it at the Senior Bowl 6-7 years ago.
Do you think he'll come in at 6'3"? Because if he's 6'2" or 6'1", he's an amazing talent from Bowling, amazing talent. But will that hold him back, do you think, if he's actually 6'3"? Because we don't know for sure.
He is 6'3", because in Mobile, he was 6'3" and 1'8".
Okay.
So we do have that. The weight aspect at Bowling Green, they listed him at 230. He got onto the scale at 238 at the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
I'm curious to see what is he going to do as far as the weight goes, right? Like, there's some dudes that want to step on that scale and be above the threshold thing. So will Harold Fannin go into Indianapolis and try to be low 240s? He's close enough. He would be able to do it. Or with the testing in mind, where does he think he is better off as far as that goes? Are you going to see him lose a little bit of weight and come back closer to 230 to test better? But then you're going to have the teams being like, well, but you were around 230 when you did that. So I'm very curious to see where he weighs in at and then how many tests. Is he going to do the full gamut of tests? I hope he does.
Because if you're looking at the third round for the Chiefs and where they're sitting, they do have the second pick in the third round from the Titans, because it's not the first pick. It'll be the second pick, 66. But Elijah Royo is very interesting to me. Mason Taylor at LSU. These are possible third-round guys to me.
For sure. Yeah, Mason Taylor, of course, the son of Miami Dolphins legend Jason Taylor.
That's right.
And nephew of Zach Thomas. So, he's all kinds of Miami royalty and the NFL bloodlines. And what he's really got, he's the inline tight end as well. He looks like this pointing Spider-Man gif of Jason, of course. You know, like on the field, it was like, oh, man, those guys. And he moves around like that in the big frame, too. And what you saw a lot at LSU, the thing that they juiced this year, it was timing concepts with him in the intermediate range. So their quarterback, Garrett Nussmeier, he's like a kind of like a poor man swashbuckling Tony Romo, the way he moves around and then chucks the ball. And he goes downfield, and then off of that, once they had the coverage resources off of Mason Taylor, what you would see is bootleg concepts. So they fake it, and then Nussmeier would boot around. And every time out of the break, you know, just he would toss it right there, right where Taylor could turn around, ball would be on his hands. Taylor was tremendous at that, both lining up his timing with the quarterback, smoothly catching that ball, and then the smooth transition from receiver to runner. You would see him shoot up the field really quick. You know, some guys, it's a bit mechanical in that transition. And this is like an underrated thing where you're going to get way more yards and yak in the NFL, the smoother transition guys, and that is certainly Mason Taylor.
Thor is a must-follow for Chiefs fans, especially the Thor does a great job breaking down these prospects. Fantasy Life is where he's at. Thor, what are you working on next? What's coming up next for your evaluations?
We're dropping the quarterback rankings will be the next thing. I got through my scouting reports on those, so we're going to have early next week the full top 10, top 15 maybe. I actually feel pretty confident about my read out to 18, so I might even put out my top 18 quarterbacks.
Sweet.
And then we're moving on to running backs after that, and we'll be putting out the scouting reports for those top guys next week. follow those up with a top 15, top 20 running back.
Well, I'll definitely be checking out the running backs. I think people in this town will be checking that out. I do want to ask you one quick selfish question, Thor.
Yeah.
Because I've had a theory on why Michael Penix was taken after Kirk Cousins gets the bag from Atlanta. They still draft Penix. All right, was Atlanta smart thinking, let's go ahead and get a quarterback now instead of waiting for 25 and 26? We don't like the quarterback classes as well, and we don't think we'll be picking in the top 10. Or is that what they were thinking? Were they smart about it? Or like, what the hell, let's just go ahead and get Penix?
I think the sect of the building behind the Penix pick, absolutely. Yes, exactly what you're saying. The issue there and why everyone is so confused and what that whole thing came, where the Cousins signing, it came from the other side of the building, which would be the ownership-led part of the building, right? So okay. It's like Arthur Blank's, like right at the start of free agency. I'm not watching Desmond Ridder again for 16 games. I don't care. We're signing Kirk Cousins. And then I think the front office was more like, yeah, this is the year to get the quarterback. And we're probably not as confident as you are the next 3 years of Kirk Cousins, Arthur. So that's, yeah, there was a little bit of confusion there. They obviously screwed up with Kirk Cousins.
Great stuff, Thor Nystrom. We'll talk to you again, my friend. Always appreciate your time. Look forward to your running back evaluations. Quarterbacks, sure, but we don't need one. So running backs will definitely be interested in.
Can't wait, sir. We'll talk to you later.
Take care now. There's Thor Nystrom right there. Great stuff. And I don't know where you come out. I don't know where you come out on that, Drew, but I looked at the Penix. Yeah. When the Atlanta took Penix, people were like, what the hell are they doing? Because they took Bijan when they took Tyler Algier the year before, and Algier had over 1,000 yards at running back, but they kept doing it, but they took Penix. But when you look at this quarterback draft class, you understand why they did it. I don't know if that's the way they planned it, but you understand why they did it.
Yeah, it makes some sense. I feel like, you know, with this class and even next year's class, like we think it might be Cade Klubnik, it could be Drew Aller.
Arch?
Arch, obviously. Avery Johnson, potentially, if he has a really good season. I mean, we don't know exactly who that guy is going to be. How would Penix compare to those guys also in those respective classes? It'll be interesting to see, but we know that Penix is the guy now for Atlanta. So, if anything, it kind of stinks because they messed up with Cousins and wasted some of the money, but they do get Penix, and they've got their quarterback now, so they don't have to worry about it, which is convenient for them.
Don't forget Rob Collins coming in for the Fan Club 96.5. Did I say it right? 96.5 Fan Club.
Right now it's the Fan Club.
All right, the Fan Club.
Other people, Alex and Cody, think Club 96.5 or 96.5 sounds. I don't know what we're doing.
It was formerly Club 610, which is awesome.
It's still the Fan Club right now.
Okay. But coming up next, we'll look at the Chiefs' priorities for this offseason, where they should be looking before Rob.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Comes in at one.
If you're watching the stream, you can see Bing dancing.
Kind of. Lady. This is a great Valentine's song. I'm tired of my lady.
If it's you, if it's your thoughts on it, you do not care for Valentine's Day. We'll get to that in
a little bit. We need the spin doctors. Thank God the bitch is gone.
We'll get to that in about 15 minutes or so with our random question. Because, yes, it is related to Valentine's Day.
Kind of.
And it is an actual question, I promise.
If you like pina coladas. Do you like pina coladas, Drew?
I can't say I've had pina coladas, but I haven't had one in a... I couldn't tell you the last time I actually had one.
Are you into yoga? Do you have half a brain?
I need to get into yoga.
You like making love at midnight? In the dunes of the Cape?
Hey,
in the dunes of KCK?
Hey. I'm not to the level of gross raw. I'll take it wherever I can or whenever I can, but...
You don't wait till midnight for love?
Mm.
I'm going to send you the Waffle House, though.
No, we're not
doing
that.
I made that phone call.
I am not.
I've got a reservation for two at you at the Waffle House up by the airport.
I'm not going to Waffle House tonight
because I know that one takes reservations specifically. Well, somebody's going to use a reservation, so
good for them. But I'm not.
Maybe I should just go with the text line.
Good for them, but I'm not going.
Should I go with the text line?
Yeah, sure.
Me and the text line go to Waffle House.
How about that?
Have some waffles.
There you go.
You know, Gus Malzahn, when he was at Auburn, used to go there after every game.
Really?
He would go to Waffle House. I remember, like, being down in Georgia, being one on each side of the street. Like, there was just loadedness out. And they actually made a Waffle House beer in Atlanta.
Yeah, okay.
It was like a breakfast-type stout. But you couldn't buy it at the Waffle House. But you could buy the beer that Waffle House, like, collabed with.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really good beer. I like breakfast. You know what? You need to try some breakfast beer. I know you're not in the beer. Matter of fact, 4th of July, I think you slammed a beer for me.
I didn't slam a beer. I tasted a beer, and it was not good.
You went and shot a Roman candle off, never shot fireworks. You went outside.
I shot the Roman candle off, and then I sipped a Coors Light, and that was the last time I'll drink a Coors Light.
So what do we want you to do today?
Oh, we're not doing anything today.
You got to do something crazy, man. You got to do something outside the box. I made that Waffle House date, so we'll see where we go.
I'm not going to do the Waffle House thing. I think that's crazy, but I won't be participating in it.
Okay. And I'll have to just go then. Let's take the text line with me.
I'm sure the text line would love to go to Waffle House and hang out with the bank.
I'm sure the text line will go. I'll just take the text line to Waffle House. Yeah. That's where we'll go. Speaking of the Bengals, because I think No, it's not bad, Drew. Just hold on to me. Okay. Joe Burrow. Obviously, we know Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And how good he can be. And the things he can do. And about paying everybody. Because he's in the camp that, like, Philadelphia pays everybody. Thinks they should pay everybody.
Yeah.
You got to limit at some point. Like, they do need a defense in Cincinnati. They need to work on that offensive line. But he's into paying his guys.
Agreed.
Is that always a good theory? Or should it just be, you know, you take Jamar Chase, whether you lose T. Higgins or not? And I say this because of the Chiefs. Should you be so enamored with keeping your talent around you? Because if you start just paying everybody, that's when you get in trouble. That's when Joe Burrow, hey, if he's as talented as he says, we know he's talented, but you make other people better. You just have to do it. Not everybody can be Peyton Manning, where he's got Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne on both sides, which is ridiculous, the kind of wide receiver talent that he had. Not everybody can be that. He can't always have his Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. You can't pay everybody. That's why I think the Chiefs are in the advantage, Drew, because you know how they've been talking about capping the quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, having a minimum, so these salaries don't get out of control. Because we know this offseason, Sam Darnold's going to get ridiculously paid, way overpaid than how good he is. Just like last year, we saw Dak Prescott get way more money than he's worth. Because that's the going rate of quarterbacks. And for agency with quarterbacks, Brock Purdy's going to get the bag, so Frisco's going to have to look at things they do differently. It was great when they could play in a Super Bowl with the 7th-round pick at quarterback, not paying him a damn cent, hardly. Yeah, you can pay a lot of other people, Debo and Bosa and everybody else. You can pay everybody, but you can't always pay because now you're quarterback. But the Chiefs are the highest salary cap ever of a winning quarterback in a Super Bowl last year when Mahomes won. But elevating the talent around him, I think you do have to supply the talent, but I'm a big get-through-the-draft type talent guy, mainly when it comes to offensive skill positions. But you can't always pay everybody what you want. You have to make business decisions, and I think that happens with the Chiefs when it comes to tight end.
Yeah, in terms of the investment, look, from the Bengals side of things, I guess, it's more about trying to appease Joe Burrow and them. Regardless of the situation, for the Chiefs, they could pay Trey Smith. They could pay Nick Bolton. But you have to hit home runs in the draft. That's your problem. Where if they pay Trey Smith and Bolton walks, you know, you navigate your money in other ways to try to make it work, where you might not go after top tier guys. Like you may have, like Trey Smith is the best example, because I think, I can't remember who it was, him and Trey Smith and T. Higgins are like 1A and 1B. Like they're basically both tied for the most coveted free agent this offseason.
Trey Smith, a lot of time I've seen him at number two.
You can pay Trey Smith, and he is a top tier guy. Again, Matt Verderam, who we have on the show all the time across the station, regardless of if it's our show or not, he is of the mindset of pay Trey Smith. Pay him. He's the best. You're not going to be able to replace him. Pay him what he's worth. Figure out your left tackle situation. And I think that, look, the Chiefs and the Eagles have done a better job than anybody at this bank, and I think you and I know why, because they have drafted the best. Whether Jalen Carter's kind of fallen in their lap because teams are scared of what people thought were, I guess, personal decisions or behavior, whatever the case is, he fell to them. They get DeJean in the second round. Fell out of the first round. A lot of people thought he was a first-round talent. He went all the way to the second round, and the Eagles got him. The Eagles are just simply benefiting off of other teams' mistakes. The Chiefs, what are they doing?
Jalen Carter is perfect. Yeah, that's the biggest one, like you said.
The Chiefs benefiting off of other teams' decisions. They want to trade up for McDuffie. Hey, the Bills are like, you know what? Go on ahead and get Patrick Mahomes. Go ahead
we'll
and get
Kyrie McDuffie. Yep.
Yeah. And you know, the Chiefs are taking advantage of other people's mistakes in that regard, getting Nick Bolton. Hey, nobody else picked him beforehand. We're going to pick him because we feel like he's valuable. It's a home run for us. Rashee Rice, nobody's picked him ahead of us. We're going to go ahead and take Rashee Rice because we believe in him and what he can do. He was a very talented wide receiver who, before he got hurt, was on pace to have a very good year.
And there's kind of
a
rhyme and reason. He had 50 more catches than number two at SMU. So it's like sometimes the Chiefs go outside the box and say, look, this guy's production. Look at Mahomes. He had the 128th total scoring defense when he was at Tech. He had to score a touchdown every time on the field. That became appealing. It's kind of what they do.
From the 785, you can't afford Bolton or Smith. Yes, you can. You can afford them.
But you're gonna be thin in other places. That means
correct. You have to make decisions on what you're going to do. Where look, if they don't have Travis Kelce, they should bring Trey Smith back.
Hey, the Patriots 100%. Were like that. That's why they didn't pay Ty Law in the end. They were a little bit like that.
I know.
You know, the Colts have been were very much like that with Dungy. They paid Manning, Harrison, and Reggie Wayne, and Dallas Clark got a little money, but you know what they said? Eh, we'll deal with that. We won't throw big money. We'll put all our eggs in one basket, so to speak.
If you can draft well, I feel like you don't need to pay your stars like that, where, yes, Joe Burrow should be able to make the other wide receivers around him better, but the team, for the last few years, has drafted defensive lineman after defensive lineman and corner after corner, and they haven't been good. They have really dropped the ball in drafting players. They drafted offensive linemen. Amarius Mims, I think, is going to be good, but they've drafted players on the offensive line that haven't been good. They've really struggled to draft. So what do? You pay your guys. If you can nail a draft and pay your guys, it makes you a Super Bowl contender for many years to come. If you pay your guys and you can't nail a draft, you're a really good team or a talented team, but in terms of having longevity competing for Super Bowls, you're not going to ever be there consistently, which is what the Bengals have had a problem with. It all comes back to the draft. The Chiefs, they paid Patrick Mahomes. You said it, Bink, I think on Sunday before the game. They won a Super Bowl with him being the highest cap hit in NFL history.
At quarterback.
They paid Patrick Mahomes. A lot. You might say, well, do you pay your quarterback? Of course you do, but do you pay him that much money? You do. They actually won with him, which is something that trending-wise in the NFL hasn't been done before. You pay your guys. Like, Trent McDuffie, the Chiefs are going to pay him. They should pay him because he is top-tier premium position. Top-tier player at his position. Trey Smith, Travis Kelce retires. I think you pay Trey Smith because he is what? He is top-tier at his position. You have him for the long run. Again, solidifying the interior of the offensive line because, again, sure, they can move Kingsley to guard, but who's to say it's going to work at guard either? We don't know. Maybe he looks like Mike Caliendo did in the Super Bowl. And then at that point...
And maybe he looks like Frank Caliendo.
And maybe at that point, Bink, you're like, well, we need to draft another offensive lineman in the first round again because we got to get a guard. That is good enough. We got to make sure that we get somebody. So it always comes back to that. That's why if they're at the top of your position, if they're at the peak of their position, you pay them. You pay Trey Smith. You pay Trent McDuffie. You paid Chris Jones. You pay Patrick Mahomes. At some point, they're going to have to decide whether they pay Travis or whether they pay Rashee Rice or whether they pay Xavier Worthy. Right now, it's looking like you might pay both. If you trust in your GM that much to draft, I think you should be able to pay and still win at the same time because it results in you being more. The Eagles. Hurts, I think, his AAV or whatever was $62 million. Bank, well, $62 million, and they won the Super Bowl because they paid guys and they drafted well.
Do you trust Veach with receivers? Because people point to Sky Moore. Okay, Sky Moore didn't work out.
He's hit
right?
two home runs the last two
but,
years.
Yes, he took a shot with Rashee Rice. That was his receiver. There's only two offensive guys drafted in 2023. It was Rice and Wanya Morris. That was it. This year, the only wide receiver they took was Xavier Worthy. Those guys hit. Worthy and Rice both hit. But part of the problem with Veach is he's a victim of his own success. You draft a guy like Trey Smith, and all of a sudden you're paying him like a first-rounder. You draft a Creed Humphrey in the second round, guess what? He's actually, quote, a first-rounder. To be honest with you, Drew, I look at Jaden Hicks being selected in the fourth round last year. I think he's a second-round guy if it went this year. And like guys like Dane Brugler had him as a top safety in the draft. But you draft guys, and all of a sudden they're better than what you think they are. So there's no way that Trey Smith, obviously, a sixth-round pick, but that's where they drafted. L'Jarius Sneed was drafted in the fourth round. That became like a first-round guy if you read the draft. Mike Dana, who was taken in the fifth round, was a guy that didn't even go to the combine. It's Veach doing his homework. You have to do your homework, and I'll never forget the quote, and I brought it up. I brought it up even Sunday when I was with you. That when Veach held up that Super Bowl trophy after 57 when they beat the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
And he said, this is what a rebuild looks like. And he held the Lombardi.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what he did. But it was through the draft and having your best running back being a seventh-round pick. You weren't throwing those picks away like a lot of people do in the seventh round. They're like guys that had – because he even called a shot. He said, hey, I think a guy in the sixth round, seventh round, or undrafted can run for 1,000 yards in the NFL. I think it can happen. That's what he said. But he kind of becomes a victim of his own success. Because where you draft guys, all of a sudden they way outplay their draft position. You think Jalen Watson's a seventh-round pick if they redid it? No.
Sure. Well, I think that's the thing. Is that, again, it all comes back to the draft. the Chiefs didn't have to pay anybody or go get a wide receiver like that or go get anybody in free agency like that because they drafted so well they could afford to let some guys walk. Like Treverius Ward, hey, you know, we got Trent McDuffie. You know, we're going to go and we're going to make sure that he's covered in that regard. Other teams, and we've seen it consistently, it's not just one team or two teams. It's the rest of the league. We see them consistently overpay guys and they stink because they don't draft well enough to overcome the payments that they have to keep the talent to be good because they overspend on guys or they don't spend on players and the talent wise and the talent that they bring in through the draft is not good enough to overcome what they lost at that talent. Again, Jesse Bates, another really good example, wasn't paid, significant dip in production. So whether it's the Eagles
and Justin Reed with the Chiefs, it's yeah, Jaden Hicks. That's yeah,
exactly.
The replacement.
Justin Reed, I'm sure everybody loves him. A lot of people love Justin Reed and the effort that he gives. Jaden Hicks is next. They should not pay Justin Reed. Oh. It wouldn't be worth the money.
I doubt they do.
Where I think Brett Veach has done such a good job is drafting ahead of what the need is. Where, hey, this year they would have needed to draft a safety had they not gotten Jaden Hicks. They would have needed one in the first or second round probably.
They've been good at drafting the next guy.
They get the guys ahead of the year that they actually need them, where they come in and develop because Dave Merritt's been so good at it, developing those corners and developing the DBs. They draft a year ahead, and maybe that's where I've seen people question Andy Heckbink as well in terms of his ability to develop offensive linemen. Because, yes, we have Tooney and Creed and Trey Smith, but why can't the left tackles be developed properly? Why has Wanye been so bad over the last couple? Why hasn't he developed over the last couple years? Kingsley didn't look great at all. All of a sudden, they're moving him to guard. Juwan Taylor is struggling coming into the system. What exactly is going on? People have gone after Andy Heck a little bit in the text line. I don't know if that's fair or not necessarily.
Well, he was right about Tooney. And
Creed obviously is great, but I think people knew Creed was great when he got drafted, anyways. Where Kingsley, it seemed like there were more question marks. Wanya, you got him in the third round or whatever it was. There were a lot of question marks. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they evaluate things over the course of the offseason and the draft. But the reason that the Chiefs and the Eagles are in the position they're in is because they're drafting well. It's not because they're paying guys. Like if you can afford to pay guys and it puts you over the top, where the Eagles are going to be the cream of the crop in the NFC for years to come because they paid guys and they've drafted well. They're going to be set. The Chiefs have paid guys and they've drafted really well where they can afford to not pay guys either because Brett Veach has done such a good job in getting all of that talent into the room. At least that's my opinion, Bink. Because there are 30 other teams that wish they had the front office of the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. I guarantee it. Yeah,
It's why you see the Chiefs, the one part that's being picked apart, it's not necessarily the coaches going over, it's the front office. You know, it's Ryan Poles, you know, being taken and put in Chicago. We'll see what he can do there.
I mean, he's even had an issue there. I mean,
Chris Ballard leaves the Chiefs. They had all these guys under John Dorsey and Beach. They had all these guys there. The front office is full. Mike Borgonzi now with the Titans was the assistant GM with the Chiefs.
It'll be interesting to see how Borgonzi does because GM-wise, there have been some questionable decisions. You know, by Poles, Chris Ballard, Colts fans have been ready to run him out of the building for years now because of some decisions that he's made. But as long as they got Brett Veach, and yes, he has missed on a couple of picks, but if you look at the rest of the...
He's hit more than he's missed.
I was going to say, if you look at the rest of the league, every other team outside of maybe the Eagles would kill to have Brett Veach as their GM. I don't think there's any doubt or question about that. All right, Bink, you want to get to a random question of the day?
Yeah, let's go random question of
random question.
The day.
All right, Bink, for you, for the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Yes, it is Valentine's Day.
Is it?
Yes. Some people celebrate. Others want to just go to Waffle House, I guess.
Well, it is for Valentine's Day celebration.
So my random question of the day is, and I think it's very simple, where are you taking your spouse or significant other? Where are you guys or girls going out to eat tonight? Like, what is the plan? I'm curious. I'm not going to Waffle House, Bank. I'd be surprised if anybody says that they're legitimately going to Waffle House on the text line. Well,
you learn a lot about somebody by taking them. You learn a lot about them.
We can ask Rob Collins the same thing. Where is he? Where's Rob taking his wife for Valentine's Day? What are they doing? What am I doing? Going to barbecue. Wife loves barbecue. Smokehouse in particular. We're going to Smokehouse tonight. We're going to enjoy some barbecue.
Wrong with that.
She wants it. she wants it, I'm all for it.
Oh, yeah.
Should I save that as a drop?
Yes,
she wants it, I want it.
You should. You should definitely save that one there. Not a fan of this holiday. Matter of fact, I think Groundhog's Day is probably more important than Valentine's Day, to be honest with you, because at least that Groundhog...
Oh, it's a hot take.
No, seriously, it is. Groundhog's Day is much more important than Valentine's Day because that Groundhog comes out. They have thousands of people there. In Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, when he comes out.
Punxsutawney, Phil, yeah.
Yeah, we find out we got six more weeks of winter because of the groundhog.
Yeah, that groundhog
sucks. I think the groundhog is much more important than Valentine's Day. I can't think of anything redeeming about Valentine's Day. You waste your money on cards. You got to go to dinner. You're doing things, and this is not a day you like. Your football's over. You're driving around. Your wife's like, hey, it's Valentine's Day. And you're like, oh, crap. Like, guys typically don't like it when it's Valentine's Day because they're like, oh, crap. And it is. Now I got to do stupid stuff for a day. And I can't go play poker. I can't go hang out with the guys. I can't just veg out and watch TV and drink beer. Jeez. I got to go do something love stuff because of Valentine's Day, because it's a contrived holiday. And then Halloween's getting very much like this too, where, you know, the adults go to the costume parties and the kids don't trick or treat anymore. Trick or treat's all they do. They don't go to your house anymore for candy bars. But Valentine's Day is completely overrated holiday. If, matter of fact, if you had the higher echelon of all holidays, it wouldn't even be considered. It's a disaster. Guys don't like it, man. They don't. They typically don't. If they're driving around and they got to go take their wife to dinner and pay more and make a reservation, things they didn't normally would do, and it's a Friday night too. Like if it's a Tuesday or Wednesday, you can kind of get out of this saying, ah, it's a Tuesday or Wednesday, we got kids school tomorrow. But Friday, you're screwed, man. You got to go do something you don't want to do. Like Drew's going to have to do something he doesn't want to do later.
No, I think if you love spending time with your wife or your significant other, then if they enjoy doing it, then I think you should enjoy doing it as well. Like, if my wife's having fun, if she enjoys it, then I enjoy whatever she enjoys as well, because I like seeing her smile. Shout out to this person from the 816. They said, I am legitimately going to Waffle House. We're legitimately going to Waffle House tonight. Married 17 years. Shout out to you. I see Minsky's a panty dropper.
I don't know if you agree. So it's why you're divorced, of course. But be honest with you. Ask yourself, do you like Valentine's Day? Drew, I think, deep down hates it.
I don't hate Valentine's. I have no, I'll be honest.
But you don't like when the calendar spins 14.
I have no.
be honest with me. Is Groundhog Day more important than Valentine's Day? I think it is.
No, neither are that important. I think both of them are just our days, honestly. Like, look, Bink, I think Valentine's Day is more, to me, I'll be honest, and I think Cody agreed with me. Valentine's Day is more for a girlfriend-boyfriend sort of deal.
It's more for the grocery store.
Than a married couple. If you're married, obviously the anniversary is the much bigger thing, where Valentine's Day is almost an anniversary for dating couples.
You should get lucky. I mean, if you play it right, this is a day that one of the days, like Father's Day, Valentine's Day, you should get lucky. If you play it right, you should.
I mean, yeah. Look,
if Drew plays it right tonight, it should happen.
Someone said they're getting a pedicure with their wife. Shout out to you. Fantastic. That's great.
A pedicure with your wife?
If the wife wants a pedicure and you enjoy seeing her happy, why not you go get the pedicure with her? I don't see why that's a problem. I think that's totally fine.
So you're going to Smokehouse tonight.
I'm going to Smokehouse tonight,
By the way, is a great place. I love Smokehouse.
Smokehouse is bomb.
I've been eating them for 30 years. I used to eat it before every high school football game back in the day.
And they're listeners of the station as well.
When I was real young, because it was about when I was in high school when it finally opened, first opened on North Oak. Big fan of it. It's a great place to go. If you're coming up north to Zona Rosa, to the Smokehouse, just a couple exits up, it's the Waffle House, my friend.
I'm not going to the Waffle House in Zona Rosa.
I'll meet you guys for a nice waffle.
Congrats,
we'll go out and drink a Waffle House beer. We'll go out and have fun. Because I'm taking the text line to Waffle House.
I will say this from the 913 facts right here. Fake holiday.
It is a contrived fake holiday. It really is. The text line is 100% right. It sucks.
Fake holiday. I don't need a day to be lovey to my wife. I do it all year. Bang.
You know, they did write a book about that. Write a book about that one time, right? They said,
why would you, like, if you're married, I feel like you should be, Valentine's Day should be every day. Like, anniversary should be every, it should be consistent.
Yes.
Where, if you're just looking ahead to one day,
exactly.
That's a little bit tough. I get it.
Exactly.
But
it's contrived.
But, Bink, that doesn't mean that, you can't just go out to eat on Valentine's Day. You know, it's an extra day of celebration where it's like an excuse for people to go out and have a good time with their wife.
It's an excuse to do something for your wife because you've been locked in watching college football and pro football all fall long. Seriously, this is a scoreboard thing. That's the only reason your ass is out doing anything whatsoever, because how you've been not paying attention for the last couple months. But there was a book one time written about Drew. If you take your wife out like for a really nice date,
mm-hmm.
and like they might expect it all the time, but if you do an unexpected thing in an unexpected time, my barber, Al, once told me great advice. Great advice for women. And I know I'm probably not the guy to give love advice, but I will. Because Al gave me great advice. He said three things, Drew. Three things to a woman's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? This is not dirty.
Go ahead.
Make them laugh. Always talk about them. And an unexpected gift at an unexpected time. That was the sage advice from my barber, Al.
Yeah. It's the appreciation thing.
Yeah. Just do it on like random Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah. You don't have to do Valentine's Day. Because everybody does Valentine's Day crap. People do it all the time. Guys are going to restaurants mm-hmm. and all the time making restaurant or reservations because they're at a restaurant spending way too much money. And she's drinking fancy wine and costing mm-hmm. you a lot of money. You don't want to be there. Do it on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Advice. Do it on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Huh? Don't do it when they're expecting you to do it.
Lord knows I need to be better at that. I'm sure everybody needs to be better at that a little bit.
Well, unexpected gift and unexpected time.
From the 913, Drew, my wife and I had Waffle House at our wedding.
Thank you.
Wedding, I think, is different than Valentine's Day. If I'm totally honest.
Wedding's better than Waffle House on a wedding day than on Valentine's Day? I'm with you on that.
I think it makes more sense than you're going to Waffle House on Valentine's Day. Like, Waffle House at a wedding, you know what? It's not what I would do, but sure.
Text line says, why do you guys even bring stuff up like this when Bink is hosting?
Well, because it's funny to hear Bink just rant about this stuff. We both are so opposite in opinion.
Now, Alex and Cody are love guys, right? So they take the day off. So who do we have come in here? The guy that is not in the love stuff, right? Let's have Bink do it. He's probably talking draft or something, which I have been.
What's that guy Bink doing? Okay, we need to go to break, Bink.
All right, Rob Collins from Fox 4. At some point, he was going to do some media day stuff that he did too at Sporting. Talk to him next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.